Welcome to the Meat House. Jeff here with my buddy Chris.
How you doing, Jeff?
I am doing pretty good. It's Saturday, drinking beer with my buddy. I'm drinking meat with my buddy.
Thank you. What beer? Beer. What's this beer thing,
man? I mean, I have to wait.
Drinking meat with my friends.
Yeah, yeah. Now, we've got a nice little one that we'll be talking about here in a little bit. That's our meat of the day. And yeah.
Yeah, first things first, thank our people that listen to us.
Yes, thank you guys, because you guys are tuning in week after week. You're, you know, letting us know, reaching out and giving us stuff to talk about, giving us some props and some feedback. That's always nice to hear from you guys, whether it's by email or by Facebook, however you guys want to reach out. Thank you.
Yeah, and the first time I heard somebody say, hey, Meat House, right? And I'm sitting here, how do you know me? And he goes, I can tell. Okay, yeah. But thank you, appreciate it.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic. And the other, you know, as usual, we have to thank
Boxing Barleycorn. Jake and his buddies there, great guys, very knowledgeable. If you have an idea for a mead, talk to them. They can help you out. I mean, as far as mead goes and beer, wine, everything fermented they have, they are connoisseurs. They know what they're talking about. They're very knowledgeable, and they are more than willing to help you as much as you need help. So they got all the stuff. They got all the ingredients. If they don't have it, they know how to get it. And they have the knowledge you need to make a great first, second, or 500th batch.
Absolutely. You know, we've talked about before, the homebrewing as a hobby is kind of has been on the decline a little bit in the last few years. And I think they are aware of the fact that they need to be that steward to help people out as they're getting into it or staying into it.
Yeah.
Rediscovering it, and I have a feeling a bunch of the people that were like rediscovering the homebrew hobby over the course of the pandemic, because that happened.
Yeah,
they're, you know, as we're facing another small economic downturn in these trying times,
it could happen again.
It's practically there.
Yeah, yeah, but yeah. Don't forget, if you buy from them, don't forget to get a little discount for yourself with MHB10 for Meat House Podcast.
Our discount code. That's right. Hey, you got that right.
I've been practicing.
Little stress. All right. Good job, dude. So, our mead of the day, this was from our recent trip to Valkyrie's Horn, and this is actually from the home competition. We have a couple extra third bottles that weren't used. We have no idea about who made this, what its provenance is, what its alcohol content is in specifically, but this is a mead with blackberries and wildflower honey. That's a still sweet standard.
And blackberries are also always a thing for me. You know, if you put a bunch of stuff from me, blackberries are going first. Dark, dark red color.
Yep. Red, maybe a little tinge of orange or brown on the outside.
I see brown, I don't see orange.
If you hold it up to the light, you get orange on the edge.
Okay, yeah, I see it now.
Yeah. We might be looking at a little oxidization on these fruits.
Very low. I don't smell a lot.
I get some blackberry. I get a little.
I got a little bit.
Cannony, kind of.
Oh man, I'm trying to get all that smell in, but it's really, really, and the smell is there. It's just not strong. That helped. We swished it in our glass a little bit.
That
helped a little bit.
It'll agitate those volatile organic compounds and things like that.
Well, here we go. A little drier than I thought it'd be.
Mm-hmm. I can, it's sweet, but there's a lot of tannin in there too.
Oh man, it's a little tan heavy for me.
Mm-hmm. I'm not saying it's out of balance, but it's definitely on the tannin side. I think it could be brightened up with just a little bit of acid, to be honest.
Yeah, no, that and drinkable, but tannin heavy.
Mm-hmm. It's sweet. It's not cloyingly sweet, but it's approaching that. I think to me, I mean, I will still finish this glass.
Yeah,
can probably finish this bottle, to be frank. And
well, you know, wouldn't want to lift a bottle and finish. That'd just be rude.
Yeah, that's why upset the meat guys, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I think I would go a little bit more on the semi-sweet side with this one if I were making it myself.
Yeah. Just to let anybody listen, when my wife is visiting here with us and talking to Jeff's wife, Sheila, they're upstairs painting miniatures. Mm-hmm. We will bring up a partially finished bottle to them here. Help us out here. We can only drink so much and function in society. Please help us. Nobody said no. So
we've had varying levels of like, oh, that's really good. Or it's all right. It's not great. But, you know, generally there's at least an enthusiastic, okay, I'll taste that.
Yeah. Allow us to fall on that sword for you is definitely in the picture. So, but no, but I don't think they're going to get this one.
No. This is only a 12-ounce bottle too,
Yeah,
so I
so
mean,
they're not getting this one.
there's 6 ounces between 6 ounces each between two grown men. It's
Easy
yeah,
peasy.
we gotta have something to
Yeah.
drink while we're talking through
Yeah,
this episode,
heavens, Murray,
right? You know.
why do this without mead?
So, topic of the day, Chris.
Yes.
This is one that I thought was going to be fun for people, or if not fun, useful. This is one that I have talked about, advocated for. If you guys are getting into mead, this is a great, I don't want to call it a cheat code, but I will tongue in cheek call it a cheat code, using kits to make
Absolutely.
fruit wine, wine,
Beer,
beer, mead, cider.
cider.
Exactly.
I mean, they have kits for a reason.
The one we've talked about probably the most, since we, you know, got this iteration of the podcast restarted, has been those Vintner's Harvest guys,
No,
right?
yeah, I love their syrups.
It's a
One
white
gallon jug.
plastic 1 gallon jug. They have, God, something like almost two dozen different flavors now, I
Yeah,
think.
easy.
I was working at Bacchus when they first came out with these, and they had like four flavors. And so I think the Jackie tried making the apricot on a whim, and we were like, "Holy shit, this is pretty good."
Yeah.
What did you do to this, Jackie? I just stabilized it and added this conditioner to it, and get it up to the sweetness level I like. And
Huh. Yeah. Huh. Yeah. And each gallon jug is good for 5 gallons.
right, and as just a fruit wine base.
Yeah, it's just growing base.
And so the starting gravity on these guys, when you mix it, is roughly 1080. There's probably some variation between the two, but that evens out to about a 10% ABV
Okay.
fruit wine. So you've got some options here as far as how you want to approach messing with these guys.
And as far as making mead, I'll add whatever poundage per gallon meat of honey I want with that, and I'll make 7 gallons
Sure.
because I can add a bunch of honey and make up the difference.
Right, and that's kind of the one of the more popular ways, especially with some of these that are already kind of high ABV on in the wine range. Just increase the size of your batch. And usually what I've done for other things like this is instead of making a 5 gallon batch, I'll make a 6 gallon batch. And that dilution, you know, you lose what I want to say, probably roughly 20% of your starting gravity. Probably less, probably something like 15 to 16%. My math ain't mathin'. It's Saturday and I've been drinking.
Oh, that never happens.
Yeah, I don't know. It's not like this happens every week for the general public to enjoy our show. But no, you're losing some of the ABV by diluting it, so to speak. You're making it a smaller, making it a bigger batch because those sugars have to fit a higher volume.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, you could make up that difference by adding honey.
Yeah, and
And you
which I
can
do.
go above and beyond too. So if you had a starting gravity of, you know, 1080 for the case of the apricot kit,
Yeah.
let's just for the sake of having something to talk about, we're going to make an apricot wine. We're going to have 5 gallons that is 1080 already mixed up when we add our water. Well, if we add that to 6 gallons, then we can take that honey and make up whatever the difference is to get it back to 1080.
Or take it beyond that if you really want more alcohol in.
We could go 1090. We could go a little higher. I mean, 1090 is roughly 12%. It's not quite, but it's pretty damn close. And
Yeah.
if it goes under the 100, it is. Generally, it's in that range. That's a good approach to this. Depending on how much honey to fruit you want in your flavoring, getting a bigger batch and adding more honey to make up the difference or increase the difference is a great impetus. You know.
And just be clear, anybody who's new to the Mekong, when we're talking about 1080 or 100, we're talking 1.080
Right.
is 1080, or 1.000. That's how you test your specific gravity through a hydrometer. I want to make sure that we're not speaking Greek here.
Thank you. Yeah, the convention, for whatever reason, for a lot of people that are kind of just shorthanding this in conversation, and yeah, it's a podcast, we're conversating, we're not doing, you know, we're not typing this out on the internet for clear guidelines, is to say 10 and then another 10-digit number,
Yeah,
or
the
11 and another
two-digit
10-digit
number,
number,
yeah.
right?
Tens digit number.
Yes, that's. I'll speak and you just tell the people at home what I'm saying.
Yeah, no problem. I'm here to translate.
So anyway, yeah, those are such a between the number of different flavors they have. You know, the flavor that apparently the year that they came out with it won some kind of major award,
Really?
and I was not sure I wanted to try it. But I'm the more I think about it, the more curious I am. Hemp.
They have him. They have hemp at Bacchus.
And
they have Dandelion.
Jake was telling me that hemp flavor, that hemp variety that they have, won some kind of major award.
Wow.
And I was like, really?
That is weird to me.
Why would hemp taste good?
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
why would hemp taste good? And so the curiosity bug is eating at me since I've heard that.
Tell you what, we'll make a batch together and see what we can do with it. I mean, I live closer than you do to them. I could pick it up.
That could be fun. We could make a 6 gallon batch. Mm-hmm. We could splitsies, so we each get 3 gallons, and then we can see what else we do with it.
Yeah,
that could be interesting.
Could be interesting. But it won an award, and you know, like you said, Vintner has what, 24 flavors, something like that.
Something like that. They've got an entire shelf there, and there's no repeats.
And they don't have shelf. There's no repeats on the shelf, and there's more than they have on the shelf.
Right. Yeah.
There's more in the company than they have on the shelf.
Right. Yeah. No. There is more that they could order, and they just don't.
They don't have room.
Right.
They don't have room for it. But, you know, if you want it, you can get it.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, but that's where I got my first blackberry syrup for my first blackberry mead.
Yeah.
But ultimately, I got good enough to make for my daughter's wedding.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the best comment I had about one of the judges judged my mead, and he goes, well, it seems like you have an imitation vanilla flavoring in there. That imitate, quote, unquote, vanilla flavoring imitation was vanilla bean pods and vodka. I don't know how you get it, but, you know, more natural than that.
We're judging what we perceive, not what we know to be a fact.
I know, and I'm not mad. I mean, I actually attributed that to I need to do something in my balancing act mm-hmm. to remove that.
Yeah. Maybe it was just a little bit of harshness from the vodka, or maybe it was just a little, you know, chemical kind of a thing between whatever was going on with the yeast.
Believe me, I did not blame the judge for that comment. I was saying, okay, I've got to do something to make it more real.
Right.
And that was the only thought I had.
No, I mean, you probably haven't entered enough contests if you haven't gotten a comment from a judge that made you scratch your head and go, what the fuck were you tasting?
That was my first contest. That's all I've done so far, but I'm going to do others. So.
But, yeah, no, that's... Yeah, you have to take that as constructive criticism and learn from it, and that's okay.
Yeah,
that's okay. So another one that I don't see them as much, but they were taking up a lot of shelf space when I was working there and when I was first getting started and things like that, are the Island Mist kits.
They're still there.
Yeah, they're still there. They're just not taking up as much shelf space. I don't think they're quite as popular, but it was one of those things of they have so many different flavors,
mm-hmm.
and they're fun. They're small. That basically what you're making with these guys is not a wine, even though it's made by a wine kit company. You're making a wine cooler. It's the starting gravity on these guys is usually in the neighborhood of like 1048 to 1052. So we're talking about a 6 to 7% ABV product. They're in an ungodly number of maybe like 50 different random fruit cocktail-y flavors, where they've got like, you know, a peach white sangria and a blackberry blueberry, you know, there are some fanciful titles. There are some like just very straightforward. It's black cherry.
If they have snozzberry out there, they'd make a snozzberry.
Yeah. These are a fun candidate for mead too, especially when we're getting into the summer months when you just need something to, if you're hosting a party in a month,
it can work.
Yeah. Just hell. Throw this in there, get a light kind of honey to maybe bump the ABV in the like 8 to 10% range. Throw it in a keg and carbonate it or bottle condition it for a week beforehand. This could be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
These are, you know,
and they make it dead easy to win. Mm-hmm. And if you follow the directions and you follow the advice you're given,
yeah,
you come out with a good product. I mean, it's just hard to screw up if you just follow directions.
Right. The flavors are good. They're not the strongest flavors. I mean, it's not, we're not going to be like meddling winning contests with this, I don't think. But for just a random, fun, easy drink for the end of the night, or, you know, after you've mowed the lawn and you want like a pineapple blueberry little fizz.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. Do it.
Those can be a lot of fun. It's also probably the easiest, just because it's so low ABV by nature.
Mm-hmm.
You don't really need to worry about diluting it or getting the volume up. You could probably just keep it at 5% and, you know, add some honey to get the honey flavor you're looking for. These are also I think, like I talked about, carbonated. It's a great candidate for that because the flavors are all light. They're usually made to be with the intention of somebody probably carbonating,
Yeah.
even though they don't explicitly say it. They're a good candidate for that. This would be another fun one for you finish your batch and you want to get back sweetening with some honey. Our buddy Sean out in Hawaii,
Oh,
he's
yeah.
got some of those. I was digging through looking for my beer gun so I could bottle the 8 percenter and tell you guys in a few episodes about the final recipe changes that I made and give you that final recipe and everything. I did not find my beer gun, but I did find the first 20-pound thing of honey I bought from Sean,
Yeah.
which was rainbow eucalyptus and
Holy
strawberry guava.
cow. Wow.
And
Right now he's got coffee flower up right now.
Coffee. We had
We
coffee.
have
It
coffee
was
flower.
very
Yeah,
nice. It was very
it's
nice.
nice stuff.
But yeah, no,
All the coffee, none of the bitterness.
you get some of these fun, like very fruit forward or very tropical note forward honeys and just back sweeten with those on one of these batches. I think that could be a solid win.
Oh yeah. It honestly, I don't see how you can't win with that.
Exactly. Yeah,
Because
that's.
like I've said before, I mean, when I make a specialty honey mead, my base honey is base honey. And but when I back sweeten it, that's when I'm using select.
Yeah, and I think that's a very solid strategy because you're getting a lot more of the true honey character that way. That is not to say that making something with all varietal honey isn't nice.
Oh
I've
yeah.
had some really good ones,
I've had
but
some good ones too. Just that's so expensive. It was so expensive. But honestly, but I've had a vanilla mead that was made from primary with meadow foam honey. I didn't taste any marshmallow flavor in it. It was a nice mead, but I could have got a traditional that tasted just about as good. But gotta be careful.
No, you can lose it. It's kind of like what they say about making a maple mead. If you're going to make a maple mead, you put the maple syrup in at the end. Otherwise, you will lose the maple syrup flavor. And it's because that's kind of the nature of the beast, unfortunately. But yeah,
That's why
no.
you make 1 gallon batches, so you can experiment and then you figure out what works for you.
Well, and unfortunately, like we can't take the Vintner's Harvest or the Island Mist and just make a 1 gallon batch of those. You know what we can do? Well, 1 gallon batch of the next thing I was going to talk about were the Wine Expert wine kits because they have those in the 6 gallon batch kits size, and they have those in the little 1 gallon cubes.
Nice.
So
And this is like where they condense it down to, is it a wet cube or a dry cube? I haven't used these.
it's a wet cube.
Okay. So when you say wet cube, it's not a block, it's a square box with a bag of
Right,
liquid
yeah.
in it.
It's
Okay.
the same way, like if you're buying a wine kit or the Island Mist kits, it's a cube because it's cube shaped.
Okay. But
Um, but
it's a liquid form
right,
then. Okay.
it has a concentrated base inside it that is in a sealed bag,
Okay.
and you'll pour that into your fermenter.
But they have those. I've seen those at Bacchus as well. So,
And if you're interested in making a pie mint, I think especially if you're not sure you're going to like it, but you've got an idea for something, a little 1 gallon like Merlot or Cabernet Franc or something like that kit, great place to start.
yeah.
So those, I think, are, again, if you take a 1 gallon wine kit and mix it with, honey and water to make like a 2 or 3 gallon kit. Or a pie mint, I should
Yeah.
say. I think that's a pretty good start. That's a little bit more legwork than just, we're gonna make an Island Mist kit and add a little extra honey,
Yeah.
but not that much more. And hell, like if you want a little bit more wine forward, maybe get 2 of these cubes in a 3 gallon batch and add a water and honey to make it 3 gallons.
And that doing that way, you can, if you want, you can combine flavors.
Exactly. Yeah. You could mix different flavors or hell, get some pureed fruit or something like that to get a little, Merlot and blackberry and honey.
Yep, we can go on this tangent forever because we did that a few episodes ago, two or three a while back. We did that a while back, and oh my God, we had so much fun with that. And I'm going to do it again. I'm sorry, I am, but
Yeah, no, another thing you could do, and this is something that Tracy turned you and I on to at
Valkyrie.
Valkyrie a few weeks back. It's been more than a few weeks at this
Six
point, but
months ago, yeah. Time flies.
Time flies when you're drinking meat.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, no, there are these little white boxes on Amazon. They're in the neighborhood of like $30, but it's another wine kit. It's not like it's a white box instead of Wine Experts, very classy looking red
Oh, a
and
colorful
black
one.
and blue or whatever boxes and things like
Purple,
that.
yeah, whatever.
But she was saying she uses, just, a couple cups in a 1 gallon batch or something like that,
We were talking
and
about that.
dividing it into more batches that way to make her pint mint. And yeah, that's, again, we're talking about a little more legwork. You got to be careful with your bags now because you don't want to introduce oxidization before you start fermentation. But very still a valid approach to, either, and they're not like labeled varietally, I don't think, from what I've seen. I've looked at a couple of them on Amazon. I haven't pulled the trigger to get those because I've got enough on my list ahead of them. But it looks like you've got an option for a red or a white. But if you want a mead pie mint that tastes like red wine or white wine and honey, especially if we're gonna, harken back to last week and talk about like spices too, there you
That's
go.
there's an excellent, it's not really a cheat. I mean, I don't think there's cheats in this. There's
No.
easier ways.
Right. There wouldn't, I call it cheat in a tongue in cheek fashion because it's funny. It's not going through all the effort of like manually pressing 10 pounds of blueberries to get all the juice out of them and
Or apples for a slicer
right,
or whatever. Yeah. I mean, honestly, one of the funniest things I was, I saw walking in the back is there to have these two presses at the front door, just in the airlock. And I said, do you guys, because one day I walked in and it looked like a brand new one, and it was. I said, you actually use those? Thinking they were just decoration. Was it, I they were just there? He goes, no, you can rent that out. I'm sitting here, no, I don't need another hobby. No. I'll probably rent out somebody.
We should see about volunteering for their wine harvest too. They do a not wine harvest, but they have a shipment, and I don't know if they did it last year, but it's been a thing for a long time. I helped out with a couple that I worked in, and then I just came and like I think it was a few months after I quit because I got a promotion at work and was no longer available during the week anyway. I came and helped with that one and just got a a bucket of grape juice that I made some pie mint from for funsies, and they get like the big lugs. Like it's not quite a pallet. You can fit like probably two or three across on a pallet, but it's a like a small crate of grapes, and push them into the press. Sorry, they grind them first and then they push them into the press, and you get your grape juice there in the back parking lot of Bacchus.
Okay, that sounds like a lot of fun, I'll be honest.
Yeah,
That
no.
does sound like a lot of fun.
I mean, it's effort. You're lifting heavy boxes of grapes, but you're hanging out with other people that are nerds about making alcohol. And,
We couldn't possibly get along at all there. No, that sounds horrible. When it, I gotta call them up and find out about when this is.
it's in the fall sometime because
Okay.
it's the Lodi, California grape harvest they're supplying us with
Okay.
eventually. They got to get a truck out from California.
Okay then. Well, yeah, that's gonna be now another thing on my calendar. Oh boy. Just what I need, more things on my calendar. Not mad, but there's gonna be now one more thing on my calendar.
You complain like you don't absolutely love this,
I
and
love it to death. This is so much fun. Actually, one of the best comments I had is I was talking to a guy about meat, and we were getting barbecue at Slap's Barbecue, and he goes, "You talk like this is a serious passion." I said, "It is a serious passion. I really is. I have never in my life had anything I'm that passionate about as you are about meat." I'm sitting here, thank you, and I hope you find yours. Whatever it is you like, I hope you find yours. But thank you, because I never really, I just thought about it. I thought it was a bit of enthusiasm, but apparently, I've got more than that.
yeah, well, and you are a very friendly and gregarious person. I have known you for almost 20 years now, and I'm pretty sure I've never seen you interact with a stranger.
Nope. I
You may
don't.
not have known people by name when you first started
I don't know
interacting
if you have my name jiggling at all.
with them.
I'm so bad with names. But no, I mean, but he was. I have never met. I have never had anything in my life as passionate as you have mead. I said, well, listen to our show, learn how to do it. Maybe you'll find a passion here. You're welcome to join.
If not, there are so many other like sideways paths. I mean, some people love
making wine at home or cider or beer. There are so many different things you could be doing here. And Jesus, vinegar, growing mushrooms, there's making cheese, like these little microbes involved in so many different things are
Kombucha.
amazing.
I mean, not for me, but hey, if you like it, man, run with it.
I've tried a few different kombuchas and I have yet to find one I enjoy, but that doesn't mean that other people don't like it and haven't like really had their whole thing be, you know, cool, kombucha. That's great. I love this.
And you can do it.
Perfect.
Once again, all this is at Bacchus, so guys, so don't miss out.
So we were talking about this ahead of time, and I kind of went, you know, and if you're at Bacchus and you're looking at the table or whatever, they've got all their island miskits on. What's on the other side of that table in the wine section where you're surrounded by these wine boxes we're also talking
I'll
about?
be honest, I'm not over that much, but I don't know.
Cider kits.
Oh, dang. Yes, you're right, cider
Yeah,
kits.
the he's got the Mango Jack kits now that I haven't tried yet, but I've heard really good things about those. And then the it's is it cider? It's not Cider House, I don't think, but maybe
I don't remember what it is. I will tell you though, I have not tried their cider kits to make cider. But however, he's handed me a glass. I've had the mixed fruit and I've had the pineapple. Oh boy. they're good. They're seriously good.
No.
And they are carbonated and they're wonderful. And oh yeah, I just made that up just recently and I'm kind of happy. I'm sitting here, don't talk. You're saying too many words. I'm enjoying this.
The fact is, yeah, no, the cider is one of the easiest damn things to make
That's what he said.
as in the world of fermentation. Like if you go to Lewisburg Cider Mill and get like fresh cider off of the line, or just like buy the unpasteurized cider from the supermarket, I have set that out a little too long in my fridge and had it start.
All by influence. Me too.
It wants to ferment and just is looking for the way to do it. I mean, yeah, no, cider is one of the easiest things
And
to
no matter
make
where
in
you
the
are
app.
listening to us, the chances are pretty good you can get Lewisburg cider, especially in the continental United States. They have a huge,
They're all over the place. I
they're
am
all over the place.
surprised to see. We have previously talked to people that were, and I've been discussing people making sizer and stuff like that, and people are like, oh yeah, Lewisburg. Like people in Texas,
Yeah,
people in
Tracy told me,
Minneapolis.
yeah, Minneapolis. I mean, everybody, especially in the middle part of this country, Lewisburg. Yeah, I get Lewisburg all the time. Okay, didn't realize I had that much reach. I mean, Lewisburg Mill is only about an hour from me,
Right. Yeah.
less than an hour from me. So I go there periodically. And so, yeah, if you can get it, get it.
And it's not like Lewisburg is the sole provider of, you know, unpasteurized cider in the United States either. I've seen different brands at like Costco in the fall that are, you know, equally as affordable and easy to use. And yeah, no, it's
But
cider makes a great product.
oh, it
And
does.
then these kits also have, you know, they like Chris was talking about before, they have like a pineapple cider or a berry cider or things like that. That again, we're kind of buttressing into the island mist territory here, where you could take a cider kit that's made for like 5 or 6 gallons. You can bump the honey up a little bit to where it's a pronounced flavor, either by back sweetening or adding it up front if you want more alcohol volume. And you've got a sizer right
Yeah.
there. Easy, easy peasy.
Yeah, and believe me, you'll meet all types in every community, including me. Like they'll be like, only use raw, only use fresh fruit, only use kits, only use this, or use what works for you.
Yeah.
The bottom line is, all you're looking for is something you enjoy drinking. Stop right there. You don't have to go any further than that. I've made both fresh fruit. I made the syrup. And I'll probably use other things along the way, but right now, my only goal is making something I enjoy.
Yeah. No, I mean, if you are looking to be a heavy metal champion across multiple competitions and, you know, really fill a wall of trophies and ribbons and things like that, you may have to go take steps other than the simple ones we're outlining here in this episode. But
By the same token, the things we are outlining have won medals.
right. Yeah, this
It
is
doesn't mean you can't. Just means you gotta put a little care into it.
a little more care, a little more effort, and those final finishing steps in the back end can make a world of difference too. But this is a great start, especially if your main concern right now is just, hey, I want to have a nice, like, spice sizer for around Halloween time. When we're around here, it's like we go to the pumpkin patch and the Renaissance Fair and do all these little fun weekend
And
activities.
Spirit Halloween. I don't like that place anymore. My wife loves Spirit Halloween.
You don't like that place anymore because you probably owe them money at this point with all your.
Well, no, I don't owe them, but I will.
Paid that off, huh?
Yeah, took a while. Oh my gosh.
Well, and the great thing, my previous co-host, Ryan and JD, and I had a running thing of like, we all three of us really sincerely enjoyed brackets. You know what your homebrew store has? 5 gallon beer kits,
Yeah.
or 1 gallon beer kits for that matter. Those are a great way to start a bracket. I mean, the one of the things that has annoyed me about some competitions in and in brackets and things like that is that people will automatically assume you're trying to copy a specific beer style when you're making a bracket. Like I'm making a rather than saying, "Hey, I'm making a bracket with orange blossom honey and Pilsner grains," the automatic assumption is this is an orange Pilsner. No, I'm just using light grains because they're light.
Yeah.
I want to keep the flavor light.
And don't let anybody tell you what you're doing. Don't let anybody tell you you're copying anybody, even if you are. If you're trying to copy something that's out there, I'll try it 2 or 3 times. I almost guarantee you will make it better.
That said, get a beer kit for a style you like, add some honey to it that you think is going to complement it. You know, take a dry stout, like a Guinness kind of clone
Okay.
thing, and add either, hell, you could go basic clover honey if you just want the alcohol by volume. You could throw in some Bouchard honey if you want some toasty notes to it. You could throw in some buckwheat honey if you want a little funky something something in it that's a little bit weird, but I think it would play nicely with a lot of the dark notes in that dry stout. You've got different ideas you can, you know, stick your head into and just start with a style of beer you like and think about the flavors that are going to go nicely with it. I think that's a perfectly reasonable approach to get into brackets. Again, these are already at a starting gravity. Well, this is going to vary by style of beer, naturally. Some of them are going to be more alcoholic in nature than others. But this is a great case where we can basically bump that 5 gallon kit to a 6 gallon and use enough honey to keep the ABV just a little higher than the basic style you're going for, and it's going to be appreciated. Because I have made some killer ABV level brackets in the past. I had, no joke, a Saison bracket that I had made that clocked in around 12.5%.
That's strong.
And I was serving this at a party in solo cups. I saw one of my friends who is like probably 6'2", 6'3", and not exactly a thin guy, finish his second full solo cup of this stuff, plunk down into a lawn chair and fall asleep in the middle of the day. It has some heft to it.
That's hilarious. Oh
But
my
yeah,
God.
no, these are. And again, we're calling these cheats, but they're not cheats. This is a great way to get started.
Yeah.
If you decide that you absolutely need to go through the trouble of sourcing, you know, a specific species or subspecies or taxonomic variation of blueberry or blackberry, and then like growing and harvesting and specifically like for processing them in some way to make your absolute best mead.
I'll introduce you to Ken Schwamm.
Yeah.
That's just not us.
More power to you, but I mean, this is why not take the easy step and get your foot in the door the easy way? Whether you want to make a sizer or a pint or a Malomel or a Braggot, you've got so many good options that are giving you such great flavors. And yeah, this is just a kind of a.
Yeah, build your knowledge, build your confidence.
And if you've not tried one of these things before, give it a shot.
Yeah.
Branch out a little bit and just challenge yourself. I mean, this is, I think, what Chris and I were both taking away from. The Valkyrie's Horn is a desire to just kind of push yourself a little bit and
I mean
see what else we can do.
that bourbon soaked duck fat still invades my mind.
Right. It's not that it was like the best thing we had there,
And close.
but it was kind of just weird and interesting enough that we were like, huh, yeah,
There's some potential here.
that's yeah.
But it was, I mean, I talk about it because now, mind you, the amongst the stewards I was with, half said, no, I don't like that. The other half, yeah, that's pretty good. I was the only one that said, this is fantastic because the technique. That's what I was looking at.
And whether you're interested in it for the flavor was okay. The technique, interesting, weird, messed up. And like those flavor combinations of like maraschino cherry and bourbon washed duck fat, those.
With like, vanilla hint, you know. Right, the,
yeah. Kind of just a weird little this way, that way. What am
but
I doing?
It was velvety smooth in the mouth. You know, that was a duck fat, but I know, but it's still good.
Hey, it worked, right?
Yeah. So now that's my takeaway. Now, Jeff, did you want to talk about 12%?
I think we'll cover that in next episode. That could go a lot of different ways because, you know, in addition to saying, hey, this is the math for making a 12% instead of an 8%, and we've been teasing this 12% for a whole few months now. Sorry. I meant to get to this within a few episodes.
I will pin him down for the next episode to 12%. I'll do it.
So that's the thing.
I'm bigger than Jeff. I can do it.
But yeah, in addition to just the math of, hey, we're going to need this much honey and this much nutrient, we also need to talk about differences in technique. Because yes, this is a little bit more tricky and this is a little less, you know, kind of fiddly. So that's why it's moved up to, you know, it's not Mead 101. Now we're at Mead 201.
Yeah, or 102. Yeah, 201, I think it is.
Maybe it's 108.
We're moving forward.
Just a little bit. There's some more techniques to it. There's a little bit more that is involved in making this come out as best as it possibly could.
Yeah.
It's not a hands-off a process. Yeah. So, that said, I think we've
covered what we wanted to cover this round. Yeah. So, I hope you all have happy meat out there and have a great time with it. Spring is sprung. We're going into summer now.
Yeah, as the weather is warm, it's nice out, and unless it's raining.
Unless it's raining, it's freezing. Bipolar nature. Anyway.
Midwest winter.
Midwest winter.
I'm sure more than a few of our listeners are aware of that one.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, another one. Anyway, so have a great time. Take care of yourself. And Jeff?
Cheers, buddy.
Cheers.